Thank you, Rick, as always, helping us to center on the relationship that's most important in our lives. That relationship is a relationship that can cause some uneasiness for us because God fully knows us. We are fully known by God. And that can be difficult when I consider what that means. Listen to these verses from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 13. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God is always there. God is always present to us, and God knows us. And if we were to think about what God knows about us and the totality of everything, it might be awful fearful. It might be awful fearful when I realize that every thought that's gone through my head, God knows it. Every word before I speak it, God knows it. A week and a half ago, I was able to go out hiking by myself and spend a good part of the day just with God and I as I was hiking. Or should I do it grammatically correct, Rick, and say me and God? For those of you that are English teachers that know that me and God's not the best way to say that, but I think it is. It was just me and God out there on the trail. And I know because a couple of people have already told me you're not supposed to do that by yourself. And I know that and I'm aware of that. But it was a wonderful time just thinking about what it means and my relationship between God and I. And that God does know everything about me. The psalmist says that God knows everything. There is not a time during the day or the night when God is not aware of us. There is not a time during the day or the night that God is not aware of us. You see, sometimes we might think that God is off, apart, over, and different. And I did meet one fellow one time that told me that he never prayed. He never asked God for anything. And I said, why not? And he said, because God's so busy with so many other things, he doesn't have time with my life. And I tried the best I could to tell him that that's wrong. All of us right here, right now, could pray out loud all at the same time, and God would hear every one of our requests. God would hear it all. You see, the psalmist says that God is there when I sit down. God is there when I rise up. God knows my thoughts. And God knows the words before I speak them. Now, there may be some people in our world that if they spent some time thinking about that, they might change some of the words that they use. It's awful funny when people find out I'm a pastor, because often I don't introduce myself that way. And when they find out I'm a pastor and then they realize the words that they've been using around me, and they're like, oops, sorry. But they never think about God's always there and knows those words before they speak them. You see, God knows us intimately and deeply. Everything that goes on for us day and night. That's an awesome thought. God can be so aware of all of us at the same time. God can be aware of 7 billion people in the world all at once. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that's not my job. To be able to hear everybody's thoughts and be aware of everybody's thoughts, to be able to know what they're going to say before they say it. And then God, it says, the psalmist says, the very inward parts of us were knit together by God while we were in the womb. For me, life begins at conception. And God begins that putting us together. God begins that putting us together and knows every intimate part of us. God might know that my liver tilts a little bit more than yours does. I don't know that. I'm just using that as an example. God may know that this knee sometimes hurts in the back when I'm hiking. God knows that. God knows how my body is put together, and God knows how my brain is put together, and God knows the desires of my heart. Now, for some folks, when they think about that, they really wonder, if God knows that much about me, does God really want to have a relationship with me? Because there are some things in my past that I will never admit. There are some things in my past I'll never speak up again about, I hope. And I think all of us have those times. Whether it was an action that we had or whether it was just a thought. When it's not done the way Jesus would do it, it's sin. And you can't call it anything else. And God knows all of this about me. I mean, the piece that I didn't read, verses 7 through 12, it says, I can't go anywhere, God, that you are not there. And David even says in this psalm, I can't go to Sheol, which is the Old Testament idea of the place of the dead. All the good people and all the bad people went to Sheol. There was not an idea of good people living in heaven and bad people living in hell in David's time. It was all, they went to the place of Sheol. They went to the place of the dead, which is defined as a place where God is not. And David says, even if I go there, I find you there. Among the dead, I find you, God. If I go to the furthest reaches of the earth, I find you there. When I lie down, I find you there. And when we think about all this intimate knowledge that God has about us, we can really wonder, even with all this knowledge about us, God still desires to have a relationship with us. God still desires to have a relationship with us. I mean, think about that. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate communion. We're going to celebrate what this means. And this means that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. His body was actually broken, and his blood was poured out for us. Even though God knows who we are, even though we've got those things in our lives that we would possibly say they're skeletons in our closet, and we hope that nobody digs that deep in that closet. They're there for each and every one of us. Like I said, whether it was an action or whether it was just a thought, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, if you think it, it's a sin. You don't have to actually say it. If you just think it, it's a sin. And Jesus especially says, if you call somebody a name, it's as good as murdering them. And we have to kind of step back and go, what? And see, God knows all those things about us. God knows who we are. And when I consider all of those things about me and all of those things that I've been through, as I sat with a young man this past week on Wednesday morning, I told him, I said, I grew up in the church of heathen. That's where I grew up. Nobody told me about Jesus Christ until I was 18. Nobody. I never saw a Bible until I was 16. To my knowledge, there wasn't one in our house, and I'm not sure that my parents have one to this day. And I learned how to be what some would say was a pretty good heathen. And when I think back on those things and I say, God still wants me? God, do you really know all these things? Are you really aware of the thoughts that I've had? Are you really aware of who I am? Have you watched me each and every day? And David's answer from this psalm is yes. God knows every thought that I've had. Good, bad, and what you might call indifferent. God knows every action that I have done. God knows all of that, and yet God says, I still want a relationship with you. You know, when I think about all that, and I start to remember some of the things that I did, like picking on my brother and sister, And yes, somebody cornered me this morning and told me that if I didn't act right, I'd never grow to old age. And I said, really? And they said, yeah, and I know you haven't been. And there's some ways that I haven't. Now, there's some ways that's just teasing and laughing and joking. I don't think that's acting up, do you? Some of you mamas do, I'll bet. That's just having fun in life. That's just enjoying life. But you know, the truth is, God knows all of it, every bit of it, about every one of us. And God says at this table, I still want a relationship with you. Your relationship was broken with God because of sin, and God says, I still want a relationship with you. God says, I know everything about you. I still want a relationship with you. God says, I saw what you did. I still want a relationship with you. Should that not change how we think? Should that not make a difference in our lives about what we do in having a relationship with God? Because God doesn't shy away from us. Now, I might be embarrassed and I might shy away and I might say, I hope God never finds that out. But God already has. Where'd that thought come from? How'd that happen? You know what Jesus said? You know, there's this time when Jesus is with his disciples and they're eating without washing their hands. Now, how many mamas out here would be highly upset if they watched their kids go out and play in the yard and then come inside and eat without washing their hands? They didn't wash their hands, and they're eating. And the Pharisees come to Jesus, and they say, hey, Scripture says that you got to wash your hands before you eat. I'm not so sure about that. I don't always get a chance to wash my hands if I'm out hiking when I'm eating. And I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. But God says in the Scriptures, you wash your hands before you eat. And the Pharisees want to know why Jesus' disciples don't do that. And Jesus says this important thing. It's not what goes into a man's stomach that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart. Because what goes into the stomach passes through the body and is gone. It's what comes out of the heart. Did you ever get upset at somebody that cut you off on I-85? Nobody else has done that. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing anybody else telling me. I've done it. I've gotten upset. We were driving back this past weekend, this past Monday, and there was this guy. And he finally turned off at an exit, and I said, "Praise God, thank you for leaving." Because that was about the nicest thing I could say about that guy. That really was about the nicest thing I could say about him. I did everything I could to get away from him. I slowed down, I sped up, and it seemed like he did everything that I did. I think he was really just trying to irritate me and see how far he could push me. You see, all of us have done that, haven't we? That's what Jesus is talking about. It comes from inside you. Now, I could have made a choice not to be upset at that guy. I could have made that choice. Last Monday, I didn't make that choice. I let that guy upset me. No, the upset came out of me. It was already there. That's what Jesus says in when he's saying, "What? It's not what goes in, it's what comes out of the heart." And that's telling me there's something in my heart that needs to be cleansed. But yet, God still wants a relationship with me. God still tells me, even though you got upset about it, I still want a relationship with you. I want a deep and a powerful relationship with you. And maybe if I really sat down and thought about that, I would go, "Really? God, I prove almost every day." Please don't ask Jan about this. I prove almost every day that God shouldn't have a relationship with me. By something I say, something I do, something I think, something I miss doing, something I should have done. And God says, "Tim, I still want a relationship with you. I still want a relationship with you. Even though I know you every moment of the day, I know when you're sleeping, I know when you're rising, I know what you're going to say before you say it," which is amazing because sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it. Anybody else got that problem? Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You see, God says, "I still want a relationship with you." So this brings me great comfort in knowing that I can be a part of the kingdom and God's child. it brings me great comfort knowing that God wants a relationship with me and I can be part of the kingdom of God. My inheritance is now in heaven. My citizenship is now in heaven. And I can be God's child. Amen? Even though God knows who I am. And I just go, wow. And it should build confidence in us that I know that I can step forward in my relationship with God. I know I don't have to hold back. I know I don't have to be worried about God finding out something about me and God going, oh, didn't know that one. You're out of here now. That's never going to happen because God knows everything. And God says, even though I know everything, I want a relationship with you. And you know, relationships are not something you work on 1 hour a week. Do you realize that? Relationships don't grow 1 hour a week. Relationships grow when you spend time with them. Been here almost 2 years. I've already lost touch with some people back in South Hill because I haven't taken the time and they haven't taken the time to continue to build that relationship. I've lost touch with some of them. I don't know where they are. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what's happening in their life this week. There are some that we still do everything we can to keep touch. With my adopted sister, I still talk to her at least once a week. Still once a week. Now, some of you are trying to figure that out, my adopted sister. You got it? I really hate to say my sister in Christ, because she would be my sister whether we were both Christians or not. And she's not from my family, and I'm not from her family. But we're as close as a brother and a sister. And I've kept up with her at least once or twice a week, we talk. That's what continues to build a relationship, a friendship, continuing, ongoing, whether it's texting, whether it's email, whether it's calling, whether it's taking the time to travel and see each other. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you can't spend just 1 hour a week on it. It's got to be an everyday thing. It's got to be something that's every moment. Because God's there for you every moment, you need to be working on your relationship with God every moment. Folks, that's a hard thing. If you got a mind like mine that's got 10, 12 train tracks going, and there's a train on every track, and they're all going in a different direction at different speeds, and no, I can't figure out that algebra problem of when they're going to pass, and at what distance from the town, and what the wind is going to be. I can't figure all that out. It's running around there in my head. But what I've got to make sure is central, and my focus at all times, is my relationship with God. Because God continues to come to me and says, Tim, I want a relationship with you. I want a moment by moment, minute by minute, second by second relationship with you. So realizing how deep God knows you, realizing how deep God knows you and still desires a relationship, can you take the next step forward? Can you take the next step deeper? Realizing how much God knows you and that God still desires a relationship with you, can you take the next step deeper? I think with bold confidence you should be able to. Because if you knew everything about me, I'm not sure you'd want me to be the pastor here. Especially the way the world's going now. find out one little thing about somebody 20, 30, 40 years ago, and we're going to erase them, is the way our society is going now. We're going to erase them completely, even if it was 50 years ago they did something wrong. I want to say, where's the grace? God says, I have grace for you, and I want a relationship with you. Are you ready for that deeper relationship, and can you take the next step forward? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because we need you, and we know that. We're here because we need a deeper connection with you. We're here because we need to know that in spite of all that you know about us, you still want to have a relationship with us, and that you allowed your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each one of us. Wow. Lord, give us the boldness. Give us the courage. Give us the ability to step forward into life, into the life that you have for us, and into that relationship that we can have with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.